Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Does it make any difference? Does it really make any difference at all that only one of the 10 lepers came back and gave thanks to Jesus? Does it really matter? Just suppose that you were one of the members. Imagine that you have an incurable disease. You can't hide it from anybody by your clothing or outward appearance. You see, you have this disease which is so feared by everyone that you must avoid all contact with everyone who doesn't have your disease. And the only people you can associate with are the ones with the very same disease. You can't even live with your own family. You are out. You have that dreaded disease called leprosy. And imagine that you are somewhere between Samaria and Galilee, or Solbury and Doylestown, or Stockton and Lambertville. Oh, that's not far enough. But you are begging. When you think about it, begging isn't very pleasant at all, but it is the only way you can live. And if you are lucky, you might receive a crust of bread or you might get some coins. And then one day, everything changes. You see, it seems as though there was a Jewish rabbi that had a reputation as a healer. And he's approaching. And someone in your group begins to shout, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Soon all of you are shouting. Yes, even you. You have to shout because, being a leper, you have to keep your distance from everyone. Why? You have learned by bitter experience what it means to be an outcast. You know what's going on, whether it's real or it's not. You don't care. You pay attention. Then someone calls Jesus and Jesus stops. He can easily see that you all have leprosy. And then he speaks to the 10 lepers. He doesn't say, "If you show yourselves to the priest, then you will be healed." No. All he says is, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Suddenly, the 10 of you are running toward wherever the priest might be. And as you are running, you look at your hands. The leprosy is gone. Your skin shows no signs of leprosy at all. You are healed. You can't believe your eyes. You don't know whether to jump up and down with joy or weep with joy. You know that joy and tears, anyway, comes from the same place inside your soul, the very core of your being. But this is not the end of the story. Because one of you turns around, you are the Samaritan. The writer Luke points out that he was different from all the others, and he was a Samaritan. This was not just an afterthought that he put in the reading. No. You do know that observant Jews did not go anywhere near Samaria or Samaritans because they were thought of as being a despised minority, culturally inferior. But it doesn't matter to you. You run back toward Jesus and you thank God and praise God. You cannot thank him enough. This points to what I believe is so important. To live a life of gratitude. No matter how hard things might be, live a life of gratitude. I don't do enough of that. Nevertheless, I just want to say I'm really grateful to be back at Trinity again here with you all. And to it's good to see you all and to catch up with the goings-on in your lives and what's going on here at Trinity. You know I love the coast of Maine. As you might expect, it's beautiful and it's rugged. But if you have a house full of grandchildren, yeah, I was grateful most of the time. But there was one adventure that was filled with gratitude. My oldest granddaughter, Emerald, a senior in college, loves all animals and is quite compassionate about their livelihood and their care. In fact, she had become a vegan. Do you know what it's like to cook a whole week for a vegan? It was a challenge for me. One day during the week, she decided to do something that I thought was most unusual. With her father, my son, and with her siblings, she went down to Robinson's Wharf and bought a 1-pound live lobster. Did she want ice cubes in the bag? No. Just put the thing in the bag, thank you very much. Then they all got back into the car, and you know where they went to? The church dock. Yes, our summer chapel, All Saints by the Sea, has a dock, just in case you might want to come to church by boat. Isn't that nice? Why take this lobster to the church dock? Why?
To let it go.
Oh, you already got the punchline. Maybe she wanted to perform a sacred ritual. You don't know my granddaughter. But you see, she was intent on saving the life of this one lone lobster. She let her father snip off the rubber bands of the claws and set the lobster down on the dock. And in a funny sort of way, she told me that the lobster kind of looked around as if to say, "Thank you," if lobsters could talk. Then the thing quickly crawled to the edge of the dock and plopped itself into the ocean back where it came from, probably that very morning. And that was that. My granddaughter, Emerald, was very pleased with the successful rescue. If she had had enough money, she would have bought all the lobsters down at Robinson's Wharf. But she saved the life of one single lobster. She knew that this particular rescue was for just one lobster, but it certainly made a lot of difference for the life of that one lobster, one of God's creatures. And that made all the difference. I don't know who was more grateful, my granddaughter or the lobster. Nevertheless, such a rescue, to my knowledge, has never, ever been done at All Saints Dock. Who in their right mind would do that except, well, getting back to the lesson of gratitude in our gospel story. Jesus wants to know where the other nine are. After all, they too were healed. Does it make any difference that they did not return to give thanks? It did for this one, this Samaritan, because Jesus says a very touching thing to this grateful man. Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. What does he mean by this? Was there something about this man that was more well, more healthier than the other nine? Apparently. Does his gratitude have something to do with his faith? Apparently. He knows, you see, that he was touched by God, and he wants to give God praise and thanks. He is grateful. And because he is grateful, he now is opened up to a relationship with God that he just may not have had beforehand. I believe that it is through this acceptance and belief that he is healed, but not just his skin. He not only is cleansed, he is restored to that fullness of life because he alone turned around and gave thanks. In this sense, what has happened in him can also happen in us. You see, his story offers us an image of who and what matters to Jesus and should therefore matter to us as well. By this I mean living a life of gratitude can make a difference between a life of fulfillment or a life of perhaps emptiness. Those of you who came to our Lenten Day of Reflection may remember what Henry Nouwen wrote about gratitude in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. He writes, "Gratitude can be lived as a discipline." As a discipline. The discipline of gratitude, he writes, is the explicit effort to acknowledge that all I am and have is given to me as gift of love, to be celebrated with joy. Yes. And two, theologian Karl Barth was fond of saying that the basic human response to God is gratitude, not fear and trembling, not guilt and dread, but thanksgiving. Yes. But it is writer Anne Lamott who put it very simply. In the morning, she says, I pray, help me, help me, help me. And at the end of the day, at bedtime, she prays, thank you, thank you. Thank you, dear Lord, thank you. You know, as I reflected on the story of the 10 lepers, I see how we in our worship are drawn to our great thanksgiving as we gather as a faith community, that is, the celebration of the Eucharist. And you will notice how we pray that it is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You know that. This is what we are about as a faith community, offering praise and thanksgiving to God. And it's not just something we do on Sunday, but it is a way of life, our Eucharistic celebration. This is the gift of love to be celebrated with joy and thanksgiving. Be thankful. In any given day in a lifetime, you cannot ever be thankful enough to our Lord. And I don't know how you did it, Tim, but at the close of our service today, Tim has picked out a most appropriate hymn. Nun danke Allah God. Come on, you know what that means. I'm not going to sing it. Now thank we all our God, because you will sing this, with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arm hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Thanks be to God. Amen.